Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Adani Enterprises Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Centrum Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah from Centrum Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Lizanne. On behalf of Centrum Broking, I welcome all the participants to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Adani Enterprises Limited. We have from the management team Mr. Vinay Prakash, Director, Adani Enterprises Limited and CEO, Natural Resources. We have Mr. Robbie Singh, CFO, Adani Enterprises Limited. Adani Solar management team, Mr. Saurabh Shah, Finance Controller, and Mr. Manan Vakharia, Investor Relations, Adani Enterprises Limited. I will hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and after which we'll go to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Robbie Singh, CFO of Adani Enterprises. I welcome you all to the earnings call to discuss financial year 2022 and quarter four results. AEL continues to create value for its shareholders as a successful incubator for the past two and a half decades, and in this journey has recently listed Adani Wilmar in January 2022, which has further increased the return for our shareholders. This incubation model in the past created leaders in their respective sectors like Adani Ports, Adani Transmission, Adani Green, Adani Gas, and has delivered returns at a compound annual growth rate of over 37% to shareholders. As our established businesses continue to sustain long-term growth, we are making significant progress in attractive incubation pipeline comprising of Adani New Industries, airports, roads, data center businesses, which will further accelerate value creation for our shareholders. While the growth story continues, validating our efficient capital management program, AEL's credit rating has been upgraded to A+ for long-term credit lines and to A1+, highest rating for short-term credit facilities by CARE Ratings. Now, just for a quick update on our developing business. In our airport portfolio, we achieved financial close for the greenfield Navi Mumbai International Airport project with State Bank of India for the entire debt capital of 12,770 crore. Additionally, we recently completed the refinance program for Mumbai International Airport Limited of 7,700 crore. With these two steps, our stage one of the airport capital management program is now complete. Further, the number of passengers handled during quarter four FY22 were at 12.4 million, and during the full year at approximately 37 million. An update of the roads business. We have received the letter of award for Kagal-Satara road project of 67 km in Maharashtra on a BOT basis with the project cost of approximately 2,000 crore. Additionally, we have signed concession agreements in January 2022 for the construction and maintenance for three greenfield Ganga Expressway projects of 464 km in UP. Adani New Industries update. In our green manufacturing ecosystem, the cell and module line capacity expansion to 3.5 GW will be completed in quarter two FY23, while the wind manufacturing turbine, nacelle and rotor blades plant construction has started at Mundra. We have also signed an MoU with Ballard Power Systems to evaluate investment case for commercialization of fuel cell manufacturing in India. This is the start of our green hydrogen ecosystem, for which our chairman had announced an investment of $50 billion in renewables to focus on the decarbonization of the industrial sector. Coming to financial performance, the consolidated total income for financial year increased by 75% to 70,433 crore, and consolidated EBITDA increased by 45% to 4,726 crore. This is right across our resources, natural resources, airports, roads, all businesses performing to a level as indicated in our last annual report. Consolidated attributable profit after tax stood at rupees 777 crore. I'll take this opportunity now hand over to the CEOs of respective business lines within AEL. So first, for our mining services business, Mr. Vinay Prakash. Vinay, over to you.
Thanks, Ravi. Adani Enterprises Limited is the pioneer of MDO concept in India with an integrated business model that spans across developing mines as well as the entire upstream and the downstream activities. It provides the full service range, right from seeking various approvals, land acquisition, INR, developing required infrastructure, mining, beneficiation on site, and transportation to designated consumption points, which is TPS. The company is MDO for 9 coal blocks and 2 iron ore blocks with a peak capacity of 100 million metric ton per annum. And these 11 projects are located in the state of Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, and Odisha. Towards the end of the quarter, we have made our one MDO coal mine, which is Suliyari, for APMDC operational. With this, out of 11 blocks, AL has now 4 operational mines, that is PKB, Parsais and Kanti Basin, GP3 mine, Talabira 2 and 3 mine, and Suliyari coal mine, and one operational iron ore mine, that is Kumitar iron ore mine. In FY22, mining production volume increased by 58% to 27.7 million metric ton on year-on-year basis. Further, the dispatch increased by 68% to 25.2 million metric ton on year-on-year basis. In FY22, EBITDA stood at 1,075 crores versus rupees 1,143 crores in FY21. On the commercial mine front, two of AEL subsidiaries have been declared as successful bidders for commercial coal mines at Bizan, which is in Odisha, and Ganbara Ujjaini East in Madhya Pradesh. With this, AEL has now a total portfolio of 6 commercial mines across 4 mineral rich states of MP, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh, and Odisha. Now coming to IRM, which is Integrated Resource Management business. In terms of IRM business, the company provides end-to-end procurement and logistics services to its customers. We have developed business relationships with diversified customers across various end-user industries. Our IRM business continues to maintain the leadership position as the number one player in India. The volume in FY22 increased by 2% to 64.4 million metric ton. And in FY22, EBITDA has increased 2 times to rupees 1,842 crores. Thanks. Now I leave it to for solar manufacturing.
So Mundra Solar PV Limited has established India's largest vertically integrated solar photovoltaic manufacturing facility of 1.5 gigawatt. This has been in operation since the last 5-6 years. We also have the state-of-art plant along with research and development facilities within the electronic manufacturing cluster facility in Mundra. Mundra Solar Energy Limited, MSEL, is in the process of setting up a new plant of 2 gigawatt capacity of solar cells and solar photovoltaic panels with the monopump technology. This plant will be capable of manufacturing high-efficiency modules of higher wattage in the range of 530 to 540 watt peak, both monofacial and bifacial. The entire facility, solar cells and solar photovoltaic panels of this plant, this is likely to be commissioned in Q2 FY23 in the coming 6 months. In terms of financial performance highlights, the sales during Q4 FY23 stood at 304 megawatts versus 376 megawatts in Q4 FY21. The EBITDA during Q4 FY22 stood at 73 crores versus 207 crores during Q4 FY21. The reduced EBITDA is primarily on account of disruption in the domestic as well as international markets, increase in cost of raw materials and commodities, and the resulting fall in demand. The sales volume during FY22 stood at 1,104 megawatts versus 1,158 megawatts during FY21. Again, similar reasons as the rising costs. EBITDA during FY22 stood at rupees 379 crores versus rupees 828 crores during FY21. The reduction in EBITDA is mainly due to the significant increase in the raw material and commodity prices. Demand emanating, specifically mentioning about CPSU, since that's a very large market, the demand emanating from CPSU tranche was serviced by Adani Solar in H2 of FY22, as was communicated earlier. There is still some pending demand from the same tranche of orders, which will continue to be serviced by Adani Solar in FY23 also. Additionally, CPSU tranche 3, aggregating 6.2 gigawatts of AC capacity, has already been tendered out to CPSUs like NTPC, SJVN, NHPC, SECI, etc. The demand for the modules of almost 9 gigawatts under this 6.2 gigawatt AC capacity will be seen in FY23 and FY24. And Adani Solar, with its integrated cell and module lines, will be well poised to make the best of this large emerging demand. The Government of India has announced an imposition of BCD on imported cells and modules with effect from 1st of April 2022. And this levy of BCD in the long term shall give a boost to the domestic manufacturing facilities. Thank you.
We open for Q&A now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Mohit K. from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a very, very good quarter and ramp-up in various businesses, which you have seen during the financial year. So my first question is, sir, how much was the contribution of Australian coal mines in this quarter, and is it a part of the IRM segment? And how do you see the ramp-up in FY23, and how much was sold in Q4 FY22?
Vinay, can you please answer?
So as far as the Australian production is concerned, now we are slowly coming on the better numbers. In this financial year, FY23, we are planning to cross 11-12 million tons of exports out of Australia. We did first shipment in January, the second shipment in March, which eventually came in April. And now in May onwards, we are planning to have four shipments a month and then moving it to five or six and then seven shipments a month, which is the Capesize vessels.
Okay.
Just to elaborate, for all practical purposes, the contribution of the Australian business will flow in from September quarter in real terms. And in the current numbers, we don't have much meaningful contribution from the Australian mining operation. It will sit under commercial mining business.
How much is the capital, gross capital expenditure in this mine, which you have capitalized?
Approximately just over $3 billion.
Understood, sir. Some of the mining, especially on the mining services, the MDO operation, what is the expected volume or ramp-up of mines in FY23? FY22 was a very good year for us. And what is the expected Talabira coal production in FY23?
So Talabira, last year we did 6.7 million tons. This year we have a plan to do 10 million tons. And considering the current coal crisis in India, we have been requested to increase from 10 to 13 or 15 million tons. And we are working with NLC and the local community to see us what best we can do. But 10 million tons is for sure going to be coming from Talabira.
What for the other mines, sir?
So other mines, the PKB, even though we have reached to the peak of 15 million ton as decided by MOEF and MOC, but with a lot of technology initiatives, we have proven that the capacity can be increased further. and we are happy to tell you that we have been given a confirmation approvals from MOEF and MOC and customer to increase the capacity from 15 to 18 million tons. So we'll be moving from 15 to 18 million tons as far as PKB is concerned. Suliyari, which started production last year, we wish to achieve the peak capacity in the first year itself, which is again going to be a very big milestone for coal industry. As far as GP3 is concerned, we did close to 3.7 or 3.8 million tons last year, and this year we'll touch the peak of 5 million tons. We hope to start one or two mines more in this financial year, one commercial mine and for sure one MDO, which is Parsa. And with everything together, we should be close to... we should be close to 40, 42 million ton.
Understood, sir. This is on the coal trading business. Are you seeing higher inquiry for coal trading given the coal shortages across the country? Or do you think it will be flat given that the coal prices are way, way high?
So there's a huge requirement coming from the power sector. At these prices, the requirement of the other industries, the small industries like textiles and all are low. But in terms of power sector, the quantities, the requirements are huge requirements. You know, it's becoming too difficult now for anyone to complete those requirements also. So a lot of requirements are coming from the power sector. The steel and cement sector and the sponge sector, which were shying away from coal imports in recent past because of the high prices, are coming back now because in India, even the Coal India is not in position to supply coal to them, and they're supplying everything to power sector. So they are also coming out with a lot of inquiries of import coal. So if you ask in one line, yes, we have a huge requirement coming out from everywhere except small industries.
Understood, sir. Last year, the solar manufacturing, sir, we had seen a bit of contraction, margin contraction in FY22 compared to FY21. How do you see, you know, FY23, especially given that a large capacity will get commissioned? And the related question is that, have you received LOA from Government of India for our integrated capacity from polysilicon to module? And we have heard that they also, the government is trying to rebid the balanced DLI. Have you heard anything on the timelines?
Sorry, I'll answer that. I think the best way to look at it is that our entire renewable manufacturing ecosystem is part of Adani New Industries. So it is geared to respond to the requirement of Adani New Industries, which will be establishing and which is in the process of developing, as I mentioned in my opening comment. $50 billion of total investment for the purpose of production of green hydrogen and then hydrogen into products. So it is, we are not for the purposes of the manufacturing element of Adani New Industry, which is the solar manufacturing, wind electrolyzers, batteries, fuel cells. We're not reliant on government contracts for that segment. Although normal sales will continue to various government plants, but now that the integrated plan of Adani New Industries has been activated, the question would be more relevant previously when we are just a solar manufacturing business.
Understood, sir. But is it amend for the new integrated capacity which you're looking at?
Yeah, we're putting in you know, when our total investment in the hydrogen chain will be in the order of you know, just $45 billion. So this we will need this and more than this capacity.
Okay, understood. Anything on this, sir, on the EBITDA margin outlook for the solar manufacturing in FY23 and the inquiry?
It's not now any longer a relevant question because it's part of the Adani New Industry ecosystem.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Those are my questions, sir. I'll go back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead. Nikhil, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving this opportunity. I've got two questions. First one on airports. So what explains this increase in revenue for the airports? Have we started sharing revenue with the airport authority? And are there any plans for further monetization?
No, I'm assuming you specifically refer to miles, because in other airports it's a per passenger fee which we pay on per passenger basis to the airport authority. But on the revenue share, yes, I think over the next financial year that would start. Your second question.
Should I repeat the question?
No, that monetization aspect is will come out with the it's more than monetization. It's about how we develop the consumer non-passenger consumer facilities at the airport complexes. That will come out over this year progressively as they develop airport by airport.
Okay, understood. So the next question is about Adani Wilmar. So do we have any plans for further reduction in fee?
No, it's we are required by law to reduce the shareholding from promoters to 75%, which will happen as step one. Beyond that, we don't have any specific plan to reduce our shareholdings.
Okay, understood, sir. And so my last question is about data center. You mentioned about data center. So what should be the expected capital expenditure towards it, and what will be the capacity?
The data center capex we expect to be in the order of about 4,000 crores, 4,200 crores, or $600 million. From a capacity point of view, our target business plan is of 300 megawatts, which we are working towards.
300 megawatts.
Yeah.
And so one final question. What will be the execution of road projects in FY23? Like the worth of it, the value?
See, from completion point of view, we would expect to start completing or reach a full completion on approximately four of our projects, and more likely three, but fourth near completing. So, and all three of would be the HAM projects, Bilaspur, Suryapet, and Manchurian. And we would have completed we would be near completion of the Vijayawada this year.
Okay. And yeah. Sir, can you give us a ballpark figure about the value of this contract?
Total construction cost contract. Just give me 1 second. I'll give you. I'll just set the kilometer sheet. Just 1 second. So, the total project cost of the first three, which are nearing completion, is just about 1,900 crores.
Okay.
And we are nearly finished on majority of them. There are a few hundred crores left to complete. Like, for example, on Bilaspur, about capex left is about 290 crores. On the Vijayawada, the project cost is 1,248 crores. And about 20% of it is completed, and we expect it to be near completed in the coming year.
Understood. That's all from my. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish S. from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just had a more medium-term question, and apologies if this is covered in the opening remarks. I was a bit late. So across the several growth businesses that we embark on, whether it's road, airports, data center, new industries and digital, we've outlaid for some capex for 2025 and 2030. Just want to understand next 2-3 years, I mean, what's the total capex that we are likely to incur across these businesses, and if we can have some color around the funding plan for the same. And the second one was just around airports. So we saw the release on the closure of the debt today morning. So just wanted to understand the coupon rate for the same, because I think that part, at least I missed it if it's already in the press release. Sorry about that.
No, thank you for your question. Our capex for the next 2 years, where we have the full clarity in terms of near certain numbers, is approximately $5.1 billion this coming year and $5.3 billion in the next year. And then we have following from there onwards in the following 5 years, we would have a capex of approximately $49 billion. In relation to how we funding it, that generally speaking, because the aggregate numbers, they are funded on a project by project basis. So, you know, data center has its own capital management plan, as does airports and running new industries. So we can run through if you have questions on any one of the individual plans, but we follow the, like for example, on the toll road projects, which are concession based projects, not HAM projects. Generally speaking, debt equity ratios are about 55-45. From a funding point of view, as just come to your airport question that you said, we recently announced the completion of the USPP transaction for the Mumbai airport. It's at a coupon of 6.6%. It's a 7-year paper. And so if you look at the last three completions at Adani Airport Holding, which is part of Adani Enterprise, for construction, we've used bank debt, Indian bank debt. For ongoing funding, we've used U.S. private placement paper. And for Adani Airport Holding to continue the CapEx program, we've used international banks. And so all three are in the mix, global capital markets, domestic banks, global banks. And that remains a source of capital, plus our own equity that is required for the projects, which AEL itself has sufficient free cash flow to fund these activities. In addition, AEL has recently announced a primary equity transaction of 7,700 crore with international holding, and that forms a part of our ongoing equity program to fund the various growth development activities at AEL.
Just to follow up on that, so about $10.5 billion over the next couple of years that you propose to spend, a large part of that would be towards airports and new industries, if you could probably give a high-level split. And how much would be total equity requirement here, which would be funded either internally or through equity raise, at least for the next couple of years?
We've already raised enough equity to fund the activities, so and plus AES cash flow. So, for example, the out of the $5 billion next year, 1.3 is approximately in the Adani new industries, and 2.6 is at airports. So that's the major chunk of it. Road business will take about $1.2 billion. In the following year, Adani New Industries would be close to $2.7 billion, and the airport business will be about $1.6 billion. Roads will drop back to about $1 billion on the $5.3 billion. So progressively, Adani New Industries, on the following 5 years, Adani New Industry will be about $41 billion of the capex, airports being $4.3 billion, so out of the total 48. So majority of the capex will be in Adani New Industries.
Okay, and just if I'm allowed to ask this on new industries, how should one think about the ROC profile? I mean, it's an evolving subject, but when you're making the business plan, I mean, what is the thought process? How are you working through the various moving parts? Because some policy measures will continue to get announced. So how should one think about the return profile in this business?
So this is the hydrogen. It's two-part business. It's infra plus energy. So on the infra, you know, we expect to have weighted average cost of capital and achieve that, which is closer to 15%. On the energy side, closer to 20%. So we will hit those targets. So the entire business plan is based on achieving these targets, and therefore also it's a derivative into how we price the hydrogen. Our target is to produce 1 kg of hydrogen at $1.
Last question, if I may ask, the aspiration would be how much of the market? Would you be like 20% of the market or more than that number in 2025 or 2030?
No, it's not market share we are chasing here. We are chasing here is the lowest cost, lowest quartile hydrogen price. And market is very, very large. So we are not chasing the market here. We are just chasing our own production capacity. Our first plan, the chairman announced, of 50 billion will produce 3.3 million tons of hydrogen. So it's a small part of the global market.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Rohit Kothari from GC Holdings. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Robbie and the team, on a very eventful fundraise, both at the preferential level as well at the airport level. Robbie, just if you can throw updates on the various projects at the holding company level which we are undertaking. Number one is the PVC and caustic soda and the copper smelter. These two would be the cash generating businesses, and at what stage of development are these at? Second, on a longer term basis, when do you feel the Adani New Industries would be at the operating level throwing up cash flow? Means when would the EBITDA start hitting as investors? When should we price that? Third, we are presently surprised to see the new cost of funding at the airport. 6.6% is a phenomenal achievement. How should we see the other parts of the Adani Enterprise? What should their funding cost be? And how do you see the ratings of Adani Enterprise follow through in the ensuing quarters? And the fourth, for Vinay, on the coal mining business at Australia, based on a 11 million ton mining this year, and if you can throw light on the capacity you would have over the next 3 years, what would be the cost and what would be a very average rate we should expect as shareholders of the coal which you would sell, and an approximate EBITDA and approximate cash flow? Because, you know, we feel that would be a game changer in terms of the cash generation, because all these years we put in money and this is now time for us to reap. So if you can throw a very conservative idea on the cash flows of the Australia business.
Vinay, you take first, because then I'll answer the other three questions.
Yeah, thanks. So in fact, as far as Australia is concerned, we are trying to achieve the annual capacity of 15 million metric ton in this financial year itself, FY23 itself. As you are aware, that currently the coal prices are at their highest level, our highest level. So definitely we do see a good cash flow, but this, as Robbie said earlier, it is going to be reflected from September onwards. Now, for the expansion plan, we are resolving the logistics issues. Mine is definitely there to do 25 million ton. If we get all the link in place, we can definitely go beyond 15 and may touch 25, 30 million tons in next 2 to 3 years' time. As far as the cost is concerned,
we are on the track to bring this mine to the first quartile. So we'll be having a very low cost as far as the mining and the onward transportation and the port is concerned. You can expect a good cash flow coming from this mine in the future if this price continues the way it is there at the current level, and even if it goes down also, you can see a good respectable cash flow coming from the Australia.
So when I just as a ballpark, if you were to do 11 or 12 million tons, rough cost of $50 to $60 and a rough $130 to $140 as a medium-term realization, $70 to $80 on 11 million tons. Is this a fair assessment to make? Like, you know, it's very difficult to project gold prices, but would this metric be a reasonable metric to put forward in our models today, or I'm way off the whack?
No, so the volatility in this market is 30 to 40%. So saying that, you know, we can discuss about the cost, whether it is 50, 40, 60, but in terms of selling price, whether it is going to be 140 or 120 or 100 or it may be 180, 200 also, that depends on what is happening in the market. Yesterday, the market has gone up by $25 per ton in one single day. The market has crashed by $100 also in single day and had gone up by $100 also in a single day. So, with this,
I think a long-term average of $50 to $60 a ton is possible. You know, sometimes it's 100, sometimes it's 40, but $50, is that a sustainable average to take over a 4-year, 5-year period?
It's difficult to say because, you know, as of now, we do see this going on for at least 1 year or 2 years, considering this change in the geopolitical situation. But what happens tomorrow is something which we need to see. As of now, the prices should be in excess of $100 for sure. Now, whether it will continue beyond a year is something which is going to be anyone's guess. Nobody was knowing that the coal prices will touch $400 peak.
Thank you. Thank you, Vinay. Robbie, if you can answer some of my questions, it will help.
I think the metals business, which are basically us trying to maximize the use of the facilities within our Mundra ecosystem, SEZ ecosystem, we expect the metals cash flow to commence. All the construction's underway, so both copper and PVC cash flows to commence from 25-26 onwards. And we should see that in our cash flows coming in from 2026. They will be significant cash flow contributors because of the products that they are in. The Adani New Industries timing is pretty much on track. We should have the first hydrogen somewhere in 25-26 target period. We are on track to do that. As I said, the work is commenced, is going on full speed. So that will be the first steps towards the first 1.1 million ton capacity. I think the first phase itself will be over close to 150 kgs. So that should be around the 2025-2026 period. In relation to the overall funding expectation, yes, to complete this transaction during this Ukraine-European issue, at a look-through prices is great for the airport business. And we continue to expect that, in fact, the pricing will continue to improve from here onwards as the quality of the airport business and the recovery increases. So we have already touched approximately 37 million passengers for the platform, and we pretty much on the domestic side is almost nearly recovered to pre-COVID levels. And then in relation to question related to the credit quality. Already the AEL's ratings have improved last year, was upgraded last year. If we continue on the track we are, we expect that it will again see a positive credit move. On the short-term rating, it's already at the highest level. Thank you.
Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Vinay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Just a broad strategic issue. Are we not attempting too much? Because on one end, we have an entire range of activities in the energy footprint. Some of that is fructified. Some others we are seeking to seed now. On the logistics chain and related activity, then metal activities that we are attempting now, even PVC on medical, on cement. I mean, aren't our hands way too full? And even there, a possible risk of attempting way too much, whereby instead of our strategic capability and strength giving us an advantage, some of it starts becoming a weakness because of the complexity and very large and too many activities we seek to do.
Thank you for your question. Well, I mean, actually, if you see our still, if you look at our CapEx program as I outlined, out of 48 billion of CapEx, 42 billion of our CapEx is in our utility/energy business, which is Adani New Industry. So our utilities and energy business is still our largest CapEx business. In the transport and logistics space, so we are broadly still, capital risk is broadly still in the two areas that we are core to us, which is transport logistics and energy and utilities. So that's from a volume perspective, that's the two areas we have the highest volume, highest investment, highest capex, highest everything in the two core areas. Healthcare, as you mentioned, is a small investment in the context of the group. For us, it would be around about $500 million and a partner $500 million. That's it. In terms of the other businesses like metals, etc., that are again just utilizing excess capacities within our current core ecosystem of energy, SEZ, and development. So we are not actually going out and trying to seek, for example, areas, utilities, energy cost outside of our ecosystem for our metals business. Here it is simply being able to get a higher return on our, say, for example, for port, it becomes a higher return on its SEZ business. For excess capacity in power, it becomes that. That's so Adani Power is able to increase its PLFs by converting some of that power into metals. And similarly, the waste product of this area, it goes into the ancillary industry, so allows us to create a circular economy. So I would say in the following way. If you look at the capital and investment risk, out of total of $49 billion of capex that Adani Enterprise has planned over the next period, plus the existing $10 billion, so approximately $60 billion of capex, $48 billion is in energy and utilities, $7 billion is in transport and logistics, actually $10 billion in transport and logistics. So out of 60 of our exposure, $58 billion of capex and investment risk is the two core areas which we've been doing for the past 25 years, which is transport, logistics, and energy and utilities. So additional risks that you are highlighting are less than 3% of our total investment and total capex.
No, Robbie, that is perfectly appreciated that bulk of our risk and rewards are lying in the areas where we have very demonstrated track record of delivery and core competence. I'm saying strategically, in terms of the time and energy, in terms of management, vision and execution, when we get into too many areas, capital relatively is less important of the four factors of production. I think the key factor I would say is entrepreneurship, which is what the group exemplifies. I'm saying when we get into far too many areas, is our strategic bandwidth getting thinned down? And whether it is repercussions on areas potentially where we have largest investment. So in other words, thinning out of the strategic bandwidth, can it have adverse impact on the areas where financially and economic value creation we have maximum stake?
Well, that's a very, very good question, actually. What I can assure you is that this is one of the biggest areas, which is organizational capability, that we spend a lot of our time on. Today I'm here as AEL CFO, but I'm also Group CFO. And so this is a massive area of attention, that is organizational capability. And in the same area is also a massive area of interest to promoters and to Mr. Adani himself. And so we are acutely aware of this. And we are very careful when we actually, even you're right, it's only 1 or 2% of our capital, but we are very careful as to what exactly we get into. So if you look at the metals, we are basically get into metals which are primarily a energy story. So where we simply are deploying our excess energy resources that various of our portfolio companies already have, excess land that various of our transport logistic companies have, and deploying that excess capacity into an adjacent area where we believe that we can execute on a first quartile cost basis and the lowest quartile cost basis. But your central thesis is that one of the core areas of attention we should have is on the organizational capability, strategic capability, and we are very much focused on this aspect, and we are very mindful of this risk. And I assure you, and I assure our investors, that this is a central risk assessment, risk management factor for us when we consider something. That is, how do we support that from both strategic perspective, policy perspective, risk perspective, and also the organizational capability perspective. And we are very mindful. I don't have an answer as to yes, no to your question, because it's a very, very important question. It's an ongoing question, a continuing management question. But we are very much focused on this area.
Sure. Just one last supplemental question to the main question. Rationally speaking, while I understand the metals is like a continuum of our energy activity, and metals is a way of expressing that energy into some other form, utilizing the same capability, resources, and converting into an alternate form. So there is that strategic fit there. But cement, medical, does one have to do so many of them?
We are in two core sectors of infra, to answer your question, which is transport, logistics, and energy and utilities. We, as an infra, healthcare is a possible is a third infra, which is for a country like India, growing country, young country, is a massive growth area for infrastructure. So we have to evaluate whether we can develop a third core infra platform. Now, we understand that is why to start off with, it is likely to be a partnership. So it's not going something that we will do ourselves. So that's first part of it. But it's a core infra for India. And we will stay with the core of India. And yes, it's the new infra vertical we will look at. But that is, as a growing group, being able to deploy capital, we'll continue to deploy capital in the core infra. That's number one. In the nation of cement and all, it's too early to comment. But once we are ready with it, or we actually have formal announcements in relation to how we visualize this in the medium term, I will come back to you. But I just wanted to clarify on the health part.
Sure. No, thank you very much. Always a delight to hear your perspective.
Thank you for your question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit K. from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, so thanks for the opportunity once again. Sir, My question is, what explains the increase in revenue and EBITDA in airports quarter on quarter? Because our PAX passenger numbers were down QOQ.
That was simply one event issue of January Omicron change. That's all.
No, no, sir. My question is, the revenue has gone up, but the passenger numbers were down, right? So what explains the increase in revenue and EBITDA for the airport business?
So that is basically that is part of the business plan of airport, is that because of the largely because of the fact that the gross spend rate, which is a key metric, is rising. And we expect that as we continue to improve services at the airports, we expect the gross spend rate to improve. But the better impact of that will be when we complete our first round of CapEx. Your question, as we outline the full-scale development of the airport business over the next 3 years, we will give much more granular outlook into the gross spend rate targets and how we are looking at various consumers at the airport.
So are you saying that the non-aero revenues has grown faster QOQ? Is that the right understanding?
Broadly, but it's basically the underlying thing is that the spend rate per passenger or non-passenger visiting the airport is rising.
Understood, sir. Secondly, on the Adani new industries businesses, when we speak about hydrogen and fuel cell, are you looking at the full gamut of hydrogen, fuel cell, lithium battery, and are you looking at exports? And the related question is that as far as hydrogen is concerned, are you looking to put up a manufacturing capacity for the electrolyzer? Or are you looking to set up and develop the hydrogen or sell hydrogen to the market? And I heard that 1.1 million tons. Is that number right? 1.1 million tons seems to be a very, very large number for putting up the hydrogen development.
No, actually, our investment plan is, where Chairman now says, $50 billion of investment. That would be 3.3 million tons. Our phase one is 1.1 million tons of hydrogen. And we are, our primary, Adani New Industries' primary focus will be production of green hydrogen. So pure green hydrogen, not blue or gray hydrogen, but green hydrogen. And within the Adani New Industry, and on the manufacturing side, yes, the manufacturing division, manufacturing entity will manufacture electrolyzers as well and integrate electrolyzers. But the primary focus, 90% of the investment will be in the production of green hydrogen.
Understood. Are you looking to export all this green hydrogen, or looking only India as the, you know, your market?
That aspect in relation to I think is probably best addressed, because it would be giving statement that we are not yet outlined to the market, is the best next quarter or the quarter after, when the full scale plans will be made public.
Understood. Lastly, sir, if and when you decide to expand the Carmichael, you know, capacity, how much of the incremental capex will be required to upgrade the mining capacity, let's say from 10 million ton to 40 million ton? If I remember, the original number was 60 million ton for the production.
We have no plans to expand capacity at this stage. They will come to that bridge when we get the necessary approvals.
Understood, sir. Thank you, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrata Sarkar from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead. Subrata Sarkar, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. As there's no response from the current participant, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Shah for his closing comments.
Yeah, I would like to thank the management of Adani Enterprises for giving us the opportunity to host the call. and thank you to all the participants for participating in the call. Thank you. Any closing comments from your side, sir?
Yeah, on behalf of Adani Enterprise and Adani Group, I'm Robbie Singh. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
And thanks, Ashish, for arranging this. Thank you so much, Centrum.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.